Welcome back to another commodity update brought to you by the team from Mikado.com.au. These are designed to give you a summary of what is happening in the agricultural markets without taking too much of your time. Today we'll be covering off on wheat and fertilizer with myself, Andrew Whitelaw. Then we'll have Matt Dalgleish giving a little bit of an update on livestock. And new to the podcast, we'll have Matt McAdam talking about the wool market. So let's just jump straight into it with the wheat market. And it's been pretty good for farmers over the last couple of weeks. We've seen overseas futures rising rapidly, and this is quite unusual really for January. And at the moment, we're now seeing that a farmer in Australia could lock in the futures component of their pricing at just shy of $320 a tonne. Got to remember that then you've got to add your basis on top of that, which, you know, it does fluctuate depending on where you are and how the season is. But if we look on average, Adelaide, $28, Geelong, $37, Kwinana, $49, Port Kembla, $50, Port Lincoln, $24. So basically, if you work on the law of averages, you can take your $320 and add on, you know, on average, probably about $35 across the country or basis onto those prices, which gives you a pretty good number, historically speaking. We don't know what is going to happen this year. Could be a big crop, could be a small crop. But in my view, starting off the year with, you know, your marketing at 320 plus basis is probably not a bad move. So it's worthwhile something to consider. Looking at things around the place, the International Grains Council have revised some of the wheat numbers. So wheat production has been dropped 1 million tonnes to 761 million tonnes. Which is still low, substantially higher than last year at about 733 million tonnes. That's going to lead to higher carryout stocks, probably about 7 million tonnes higher than last year. But probably importantly, the major exporters' stocks are down 4 million tonnes, which means there's less available really for exporting around the world. All good news at the moment for farmers. It is an interesting one because, you know, the speculators in the market are pretty long, and whether they take their profits and that causes the market to correct itself, we shall see. But my view is little and often seems to do well in these type of markets. So on to fertilizer, and this is an area that we've been asked quite a lot about from farmers. And so we're going to do over the next couple of months, probably a monthly, we'll put it into our grain reports, just what the fertilizer market is doing. We have to be aware that, you know, there's not much access, or we don't get access to Australian domestic prices. We only get what we hear from farmers telling us what they've been quoted. So what we'll be doing is we'll be putting out there the overseas urea and DAP price, which gives you an indication of more about the trend of what's happening with prices. But just to give you some indication, urea is up about $8 a ton, not much since December, and DAP has gone up about $20 a ton, albeit that was from almost a 10-year record price. So, but over the last year, we've basically seen prices substantially fall, and that should flow through into your prices. And it's important to be looking at this because it's a couple of months until seeding. But yes, prices are, you know, should be reflecting that overseas market in the same way that when, you know, Chicago falls or Chicago rises, it flows through here. You know, when New Orleans or Saudi Arabia or China fertilizer prices fall or rise, it will flow through to here. We are still hearing some good prices of around about 530, 540 for MAP at port. No way of verifying this, but worthwhile shopping around. And if you're interested, let us know what you get quoted so we can increase our data sets. But yeah, pretty good for farmers at the moment. Grain prices are going up, fertilizer prices are dropping. You know, it's all those are two good news things. I'm going to pass you off to Matt, and he's going to cover off on livestock.
Thanks for that, Andrew. We'll jump straight into beef markets to begin with. We noted this week on Mercado's Friday comment that the cow prices have jumped a bit. particularly in Queensland and New South Wales. So if you compare them to the December closes, we're up about 30% for cow prices in those northern regions. Obviously, a bit of a response to the rain we've been seeing, which has been really good, not just for the fire-affected areas, but it's starting to give a bit of confidence back into those that are keen on restocking. So the rainfall also encouraged some movement in young cattle prices as well. We've seen the Eastern Young Cattle Indicator up 13% this week, and it's the highest level now for the EYCI since about March 2018. So starting to see a bit of interest there. Looking at the forecast for rain into next week, we've got a really strong high falls up into northern Queensland and what looks like the beginning of the northern monsoon season. With a bit of luck, that'll spin off and cast a bit more rain down into southern and western Queensland, which is could still do with a bit more, and then into northern New South Wales. If we start to see that, we're going to really get a bit of a rocket up on the activity of restockers. We're probably a few more weeks away and a bit more good rain before we really start to see the restockers keen to engage. But certainly looking at breeding prices and young cattle and store prices all going up, there's definitely an incentive to rebuild as soon as we get the favourable situation. Just on that favourable situation, if we look at the most recent three-month outlook for the Bureau of Meteorology, they're forecasting a 50-50 chance of either a wetter or drier summer period. So it's, you know, could go either way, really. But the real benefit is that conditions that have been keeping moisture away from Australia for the last year, this drought we've been suffering under, have now pretty much broken down. It's really shaping up for the potential for a decent autumn break. We're probably a month or so away from seeing exactly what the autumn break's going to look like, but I suspect most of the restockers, that's what they're really watching, particularly in New South Wales. If we get a good southern break in autumn and some good rainfall through that period, I think we're going to be off to the races for young cattle and for breeding prices. Moving across to sheep and lamb markets, really a story of the rainfall helped prices, but the real story there is a supply issue. We've got, as MLA reported in September last year, we've got the lowest flock numbers in over 100 years, and we've seen, particularly in New South Wales, a reduction in breeding ewe numbers, and now we're starting to see that flow through into lower lamb supply this season. If you look at the slaughter of lamb, weekly slaughter since the start of this year, over the fortnight, we're about 5% below the five-year trend, so not as many lambs coming through to the meatworks. And with the rainfall, that's had a bit of an impact on prices. So Eastern States Trade Lamb Indicator rallied nearly 6% this week to just short of 780 cents a kilo. Mutton prices also lifted, but not as strongly. I think the reason why mutton prices haven't responded as well to the rain is we're already at pretty high levels historically for mutton. All of last season, mutton prices were quite strong, and that was despite pretty high slaughter levels. So far this season, we've seen slaughter levels about 23% higher for mutton than what the normal average is. So considering how high slaughter is for mutton and how much supply is still coming through at the moment in some of those dry spots, the fact that mutton stayed relatively robust in terms of their prices is a bit of a signal. And if we start to see supply reducing as we head into autumn and winter, we could be off to the races as well for both mutton and lamb prices this year. That's it for me. I'll pass across to Matt to give an update on the wool market.
Thanks, Matt. This week, we've seen a hiccup in the otherwise impressive opening to the Australian wool market in 2020. The fragility of the market was clearly evident as prices changed day to day, sometimes up and others down. The market did settle at the end of the week as buyers found a price basis they were comfortable with. The EMI fell 33 cents to 1,576 cents. Which is a massive differential to this time last year when it rose to 1,927 cents. We saw minor adjustments in the Australian dollar, and the EMI in US terms dropped to 1,082 cents. It's usual to see larger national offerings in January. The last two sales are no exception, where more than 50,000 bales came forward in each. The pass-in rate rose to 15.9%, but due to the high offering, the clearance to trade was still a top three performance since January 2019 at 44,273 bales. Oddments defied the downward trend this week, propelled by a demand in locks. With the stabilisation of the market on Thursday and a lower offering set for next week, it is possible the market has found a short-term base, but it'll be important to watch for portents and omens in the new Lunar New Year. And back to you, Andrew. Thank you.
Thanks for the update, Matt. If you could do us a massive favour, our dear listeners, please leave a like or a review, share this with your friends and family, and the more listening into it, the better. We hope you have a good weekend, and see you later. Bye-bye.